morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to Balance Point. This has been a struggle to get this message out. How can I put it? Oh, the technology has not been with us. However, we are with you today and we are beginning a new chapter in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10. And this is part one of Luke chapter 10. And I do suspect that this is going to be four parts for the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And I want to thank you for joining us. We pray that these lessons are meaningful to you and useful to you and helpful to you in your walk with the Lord. We have been making changes, obviously, to our setup here, and we hope that these will actually enable you to even better follow along with us through these studies. And so before we dig in, let's begin as we always do with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne with praise and thanksgiving, grateful that we can come together through this medium of the internet and through audio podcasts. We ask, Father God, that you would be glorified and magnified in this time. Furthermore, Lord, we offer this time to you as an act of worship. Father, empower us by your Holy Spirit to understand your word and to apply it to our lives. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Again, we are starting in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at the mission of the 70. Now, Jesus has previously sent out the 12 apostles. And now, as he is heading towards Jerusalem, and his goal is to go to Jerusalem to hang upon the cross, he sends out 70 missionaries to prepare the way for Jesus. And it's interesting that as Jesus was coming to the conclusion of his first coming, they sent out emissaries to all of the towns that he was planning on visiting. What makes that interesting is that we are currently living in a period of time where we are closer to his return than we have ever been. Let me repeat that. We are closer to his return than we have ever been. And this is a time when Jesus is sending us out. He's sending us out to spread the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Now, to those of us who are living, as Paul writes, this is great news. This is awesome news. But to a dying world, this is not so good news, because it means that for them, the time is growing short. And so let's take a look at these first few verses in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. I'm going to have them up on the screen for you. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Now, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face to every city where he was about to go. And then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And I want to stop here for a sec, and let's look at what he has said. So after these things, after what things? After Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship, after he was going to go through Samaria and Samaria rejects him, after the discussion of what is a truly great servant of God. What is a truly great servant of God? One who comes to him with childlike faith, just trusting. So after these things, he appoints 70 and he sends them out 2 by 2. And the first important point that I want to bring out is that ministry is not a solo effort. It takes a team to minister. It takes a team to serve. Why? Because the work is too great for any one person to do it all by themselves. The work is too great for any one church to even try to do it by themselves. And so he sends them out 2 by 2. And where did he send them? He sent them to every city and place where he himself was about to go. These are all the places that he is going to go to and go through on his way to Jerusalem. And herein is a lesson for us. Where is our mission field? Where we're sent? Where are we sent? Where we're at? Where we're at? And so, watch this. The harvest is great. If the harvest was great and there were people ready in the first century in the Roman Empire, how much more so in this time is the harvest great? How much more so are we living in a time and in a place where the need for the love of Christ is greater? The harvest is great today. And so what does he tell his followers to do? But the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Whose harvest? It's the harvest of the Lord. It's the harvest of Jesus Christ. It isn't our harvest. It isn't my harvest. It isn't your harvest. No, it is the harvest that has been planted and prepared by no one less than God himself. And so he says, pray for laborers. And so our first act of service is prayer that God would supply the laborers to accomplish his harvest. And then he gives us a warning, and he gives his disciples in the first century a warning. Go your way, and behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. We're sent out as lambs. Why would we be sent out as lambs among wolves? Well, one, the call of the gospel is a call of meekness. It's a call to gentleness. Now, there will come a time when it will be a call to arms. But that is not during this time. That is not during the age of grace. No, we are called to go forth as lambs. Now, watch this. If there are wolves out there and there are lambs out there, one is going to be food for the other. One is going to be food for the other. This calls to mind when Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. What's fruit? Fruit is food. Does the branch get to eat the fruit that grows on it? No. Does a good tree get to eat the fruit that grows on it? No. That fruit is there to attract others who will eat that fruit. So when we're loving, kind, gentle, patient, full of self-control, that isn't primarily for us. No, those attributes are for those who are around us to see, to eat, to enjoy, and to be nourished by it. Yes. So we are sent as lambs among wolves. And let's pick up our reading. Ooh. And we are going to go down to the next verse, actually. So here are some preparatory instructions from the Lord Jesus. Carry neither money nor knapsack nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. So carry no money. In other words, don't prep for the journey. No knapsack, nor a spare set of sandals, and don't greet anyone along the road. In other words, this is a mission of high priority. This is a mission that these 70 people, 35 pairs, are being sent out, that is a high priority mission. In other words, you don't have time to gather up money for the trip, nor to pack your luggage, nor to grab you an extra sandals. Y'all need to go. Now, our call into the mission field is a little bit differently. It's a little different. I mean, some of us may be called to pick up and go. But most of us are called to just go across the street. Most of us are called to just go to work. And so this urgency of preparation is a little different from us, for us. Our urgency is that we have an urgency of love, as demonstrated by Christ. That we have an urgency of compassion, as demonstrated by Christ. That we have an urgency to see the kingdom come in the land of darkness. And so our urgency is different. The urgency back then was Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. We're talking in less than a year, probably more like 6 months. He is going to be betrayed. He's going to suffer. He's going to have multiple mock trials that's eventually going to lead to his crucifixion and his death. And so there was an urgency to get the message out before his earthly ministry ended. And going back to our text. Going back to our text. I gotta read from a different side. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And I'm going to go on and go down to the next verse as well. And remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. I'm going to stop there. So they are to come with a greeting of peace. They're to come with a greeting of love. In modern terms, you see somebody out on the street that, let's say, comes from a lifestyle that you don't agree with. Do you greet them with peace? Do you greet them with a smile? Or do you greet them as the enemy? See, Jesus says that our first approach to those around us should be an approach of peace. And here's the thing. If the person is peaceable, that peace is going to rest on them. And that peace will remain with them. What peace? The peace of Christ. You see, God brings us into his family not through war. Now, does God bring judgment? Yes, God brings judgment. That's part of the nature of God. That is part of the holiness of God. But let me ask you, was it judgment? If you're a Christ follower, was it judgment that brought you to being a Christ follower? Or was it something else? Maybe it was the love of God demonstrated by a person. Maybe it was a peace of God. Maybe somebody in your family came to the Lord that you had beef with, and then they came to the Lord. And after they came to the Lord, all you saw from them was peace. And that peace attracted you. You see, our first approach in our mission field should be an approach of peace, not confrontation, not condemnation. The world don't need me to condemn it. Guess what? They already know where they're going. They don't need my help. They don't need my input. What they need is they need the fact that I was led to the Lord. I was led to peace. I was led to love. I was led to joy. And therefore, I should be one who is one who leads others to peace, who leads others to joy, who leads others to healing. And here's the thing. If we're greeting a person who is a person of peace, that peace is going to come back to us. That peace is going to rest on them. And if they are a person of peace, guess what? That peace is going to come right on back to us. And we're going to know that's not the place. That's not the person. Watch this. And now picking up in verse, where we left off. And remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. And so this here speaks of consistency. Whatever house God leads you to, whether it's a church, whether it is, you know, a small Bible study, small study group, whether it's that he leads you in a way where you begin to lead a group, you stay with that group. You grow that group. You bless that group with your presence. And you enjoy the fruits of the labor in that house. And you shouldn't be jumping from house to house. Now, there will come a time when God will say, okay, it's time to move on. It's time to go to a new place. You know, I'll tell you, in the 30 plus years that I've been married, the Lord has led me to only a handful of churches. And each time he's moved me with a purpose. And it hasn't been a matter of church hopping. The first time God moved me, he moved me with the purpose that I should learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry in the Holy Spirit. I wasn't being taught that at the church that we were attending. We were not being fed that. And so God led me to a church. And we remained at that church for well over 10 years. And then God laid on my heart, okay, it's time for you to learn how to go out and plant churches. And so God led me to another church that was actively planting churches. I mean, like a church every year to year and a half. And while a member of that church, we went out with multiple church plants. And we would go out, we would help build up that plant, and then we'd come back to the mother church. And we were being trained how to plant churches by actually going out and assisting with the planting of churches. And now God has moved us to yet another location. And we've been there for 2 years and we're not going anywhere. I don't anticipate going. Well, of course, I said that with our other churches. I didn't anticipate going anywhere. And then the time came when God said, no, it's time for you guys to move on. I don't anticipate going anywhere. I'm staying in the house where I'm being fed. Why? Because I'm not only being fed, but I'm serving the house. I'm serving that house. And there's a lesson there that we should stay where we are serving and where we are being fed. Again, there will come a time when God might say, okay, it's time for you to move. And when that happens, praise God. You thank God for the time that you had at those churches. You thank God for the friends and the relationships that you developed in those churches. And then you be obedient and you move on. And at some point, I might teach a lesson on how you know when it's time to move on. But just know that if you're moving because somebody done you wrong, then you need to sit down, shut up, and pray that God, that the lesson that's being taught there not be wasted. Okay, so. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God has come near you. Next section. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets, and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So whether they receive you or they don't receive you, the message is the same. The kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God has come near you. Whether the result is a positive or a negative, the kingdom of God has come near you. And that's the message. Our job is to deliver the message that the kingdom of God has come near them. But watch this. If one rejects the kingdom of God, then Jesus says it's more tolerable for Sodom. Now, there are many of you who are new to Bounce Point, you were not around for our Genesis study. But Sodom was a city of wickedness. It was so wicked that God himself decided to come down with a couple of angels and check their wickedness. And it was so wicked that the men of the city wanted to rape the angels. There's no other way of putting it. And so God judged Sodom and he judged Gomorrah with fire. And Jesus here is saying that for those who choose to reject the kingdom of God, it will be better for Sodom in the day of judgment. Why will it be better? I'll tell you why it would be better. Because Jesus says this, to whom much is given, much is required. And so here's the thing. If you don't know about God, God does not judge you at the same level as one who knows God, as one who knows the Bible, who knows the Word. But once you have been exposed to the Word, once you have been exposed to His Son Jesus, you're responsible. You're responsible for that. And so know this, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now the question is, What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? How responsible are you? Let me show you in our scripture. Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven. How were they exalted? They were exalted because that was the home base that Jesus operated out of. They were exalted to heaven. And they'll be brought down to Hades. What was special about all of these places? These were places that Jesus ministered. These were places where Jesus had performed mighty miracles. These were places where Jesus, the living, breathing image of God, had preached and proclaimed the goodness of God in word and in deed. And yet they didn't believe. I mean, it's going to be more tolerable even for Nineveh, who at the preaching of Jonah repented. And Jonah's message wasn't even a message of grace as this. Jonah's message was 40 days and y'all getting yours. And they repented. How much more so for America? How much more so for the countries of Europe? How much more so for the countries where the gospel has been freely and openly preached? And yet, many have not believed. Many have not believed. We have churches here in America full of people who go to church because they are social Christians. They're social Christians. You might even say, since it's America, that they're ethnic Christians. Because everybody believes if you're born in America, you're Christian. I got news for you. If you're born in a garage, it don't make you a VW bug. Something to think about. And so there are churches here in America, in Europe, across the Middle East, where it's become easy to be a Christian. They are filled with people that don't believe. They're filled with people that don't believe. And here's the scary bit. Here is the scariest bit. This is where we're going to close. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, that's us, the disciples of believers, rejects Christ. And he who rejects Christ, rejects him who sent me. Who sent him? No one less than Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am, the one who revealed himself in the burning bush, the one who said, I am your covering, I am your healer, I am the one who hears you, the one who said, I am near you, the one who said, I am your father, I am your strong right arm, I am your supply. The one who said, Yehoshua, I am your salvation. Yeah. You see, when you reject the message, when we reject the message, When we reject the messenger, we're rejecting the invitation. The invitation to a life of grace and a life of peace and a life of joy. That's a scary place to be. Let's pray. Father God, we come to your throne and we ask, Father God, that you would just give us open hearts. Father God, I pray for those that are hearing this message who do not know you. Father God, speak to them directly in their hearts, directly in their minds, directly in their spirits, and draw them into the family of God. Father, I pray that you would send out laborers into the field. Send me, send us. That your harvest might be brought in, that your barns might overflow. That many might know the love and grace of your presence. And now, Father God, we come to you and we thank you and we bless you. In the mighty name of your Son, Yeshua, amen and amen. Let me give you a little bit of contact information. First off, we'd like to invite you to come and visit us in our ministry center. You can find us online at www.balancepointla.org. There you will find a back catalog of many of our messages. There are a few that are missing because we lost the data, unfortunately, of course, across multiple moves. But you'll find our back catalog of messages. You'll find some helps to help you study and to help you discover how God has uniquely made you in his image. We do have a virtual sanctuary, and we will begin having services there again. You can find us at balancepoint.churchonline. That's the old address, at balancepoint.online.church. And we do have virtual sanctuary. We also stream. We will be streaming on YouTube and the Facebook. If you need prayer, we are a praying organization. You can get prayer by simply emailing us with your prayer requests at prayer@balancepointla.org. You can also use the form on the balancepointla website. If you'd like general information, you can just contact us at our staff mailbox at staff@balancepointla.org. And if you're interested in live worship, we currently worship with a congregation in Huntington Park. You can email us at staff@balancepointla.org, and we'll get you the information. You can come and join us in Huntington Park. And with that, prepare to receive the blessing. May the God of heaven and earth, the creator of the harvest, empower you to go and gather his people. May you be filled with his love and with his grace. And may you be a person of peace, bringing the love of Christ to a hungry world. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen and amen. Have a blessed week.